This is CliffCentral.com.
We all know what time it is. Time for Anthea. Huh?
She was high for the money, so high for it, honey. She was high for the money, so you better treat her right.
There we go. That's an 11-year-old singing the song. Huh?
Wow.
How's that?
So high for it, honey.
And this is your theme music now. So wherever you go and whatever you do now, this has got to be the music.
Exactly right.
We'll wherever.
The Rocky theme.
Yeah, like even if you are giving you're making some kind of speech at a major investment conference or something, this should be what comes on.
Okay.
Can we arrange?
I think we should.
All right, we'll do it. Because it's your trademark. It's what sets you apart.
Absolutely.
Apart from, obviously, all the things that you do.
It's this song, not your talent.
Not shut up, Ben.
This is very important. It's all about marketing. All right. So, listen, Anthea and I were actually messaging each other the whole day yesterday because we were both very concerned about what was going on with this report around Pravin Gordhan.
I was basically having a meltdown.
Yeah, because, you know, this country's already been through so much, and we've managed to fight and claw our way back to not being downgraded by just about everyone. We're fighting a massive problem in this country with a lack of growth. Everything's receding. Eskom saying, oh, well, there'll be no more load shedding, but that's because manufacturing is virtually ground to a halt. And then we have either very irresponsible journalism in someone reporting that Pravin Gordhan is going to be arrested when he isn't, or a much more serious problem, which is that the finance minister might be arrested. And if he is, we can kiss the rand goodbye.
And our credit rating.
Yeah. So, I mean, where are we on this?
So it's a huge thing. I actually don't know what to believe because, wow, like, what do we expect to see coming? The presidency did put out a statement yesterday saying that it was all rumor or conjecture or whatever, but they worded it so carefully. So they said they, you know, that Pravin Gordhan does work for the president and the president can do what he wants to, but he's not planning to fire him. Except if he does get arrested, well, then he's no longer going to be the finance minister and the president won't have to arrest him. So it does, and there was just too much detail in this report for us to completely ignore it. That's the other problem. So the rand started trading last night at about 9 o'clock Asian time, so our time 9 o'clock, but when Asia started, and weakened all the way to 1562, and it had been 1531 on Friday afternoon. This morning, though, it's back at 1543. So it looks like the market, like us, were just not sure. But if this does happen, oh, my goodness. I can't imagine what will happen to the rand. Our credit rating will go. Things will get bad. You know,
well, I don't know if you heard what the NPA said, because they said that no decision has been made to prosecute, but that an investigation is underway. So that where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right.
So there is something happening.
And apparently, and we've got to talk, Flax, see if you can't get Ranjeni on for me a little bit later on, because she's been investigating this very carefully. And it seems even Atul Gupta is involved in these rumors and as a source of these rumors. And if that's true, I mean, surely these Guptas should know better than to be mouthing off.
Absolutely.
They're lucky to have got out with their lives.
Yeah, so they should just keep quiet now. But you say he's involved. How is he involved?
Well, he's the one who said that they're going to arrest Pravin, that Trevor Manuel's on the list.
Oh, yeah,
there's
like 8 people on that list, apparently.
And basically, this list is just all the people.
But this is all about the SARS rogue unit. What has Trevor Manuel got to do with that?
I don't know, but they're trying to take everybody who has something to say about the president down. Oh. It's a political conspiracy.
And then on Friday, I believe that at the ANC General Council, Zuma did say that he thought Van Rooyen was still the best man for the job.
Oh,
I did
God.
Read that, which just is crazy, and it sounds almost like he's setting it up, actually, which
that's
is
what
worrying.
It like, yeah.
Anyway, all right. If this happens, we're in big trouble. But let's just carry on as if it hasn't.
Yeah, for now.
Right.
But you know, the market will price ahead, right?
Of course.
So if the market thinks it's going to happen, the rand will weaken. So if this is not going to happen, but it was bad journalism or irresponsible journalism, the impact is still there. The rand will still weaken.
Hmm.
And then we still have the inflationary issues and the downgrade.
All right. Well, let's look at the market in the meantime.
All right. Yeah. So on Friday, the Aussie closed 28 basis points higher, about $1.5 billion traded, which was the highest for the week. Not very much was going on last week. Mm. For the all share, the last week was up 67 basis points. And then, of course, we know what happened to the rand. And because of the slightly weaker rand, we saw resources have a nice little bounce.
I had a conversation with a stockbroker last week who was saying to me that he's just so annoyed with the market this year.
Oh, why?
Well, he said that.
And so say all of us.
Yeah. 2%? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You're wasting my time.
Right.
Yeah, but he should, if he's a stockbroker, he should be happy because the market's volatile. And when it's volatile, traders can make money.
Mm.
So if you were a trader of the rand yesterday, at 9 o'clock last night, you would have definitely sold off the rand, bought some dollars. It would have weakened to 1562, and then you would have bought back your rands at, 1543 this morning. So
right.
You would have made some money. But, yeah, it is a bit annoying, I must admit. But at least there's a little bit of news flow. Not hugely. We spoke about this last week. Nothing hugely exciting. Some of the things. So Nivius Investment Holding Group, announced that they were selling their stake in KWV. I think they own about 57% or somewhere around there. And then Nivius is owned by HCI, which you might know, the guys who own Serdal Media. They also own a couple of other things, Vukani Gaming and Galaxy Bingo. And Serdal Media is the owner of ETV. So it looks like they might be consolidating, kind of selling off things that they're not, that's not core to their business. The share was up 12% in 3 days.
Hmm.
It is a tiny a company, though. It's only about 3 billion market cap. Not much trade, so you kind of – and it's fairly tightly held because of this HCI holding 52% of it. So you're probably not that exciting as a share to play because you know what happens with illiquid shares. If somebody wants to sell, they'll sell it right down and you'll be stuck mm-hmm. holding yours. And then Mondi Paper, they also reported their first quarter operating profit up 269 million euros. Now they report in euros because they're a spin-off of Mondi PLC, which is the UK business. Not bad. It was up 14% on last year's number. This is a funny share. This is like the thorn in my side share because when I think of the paper business, I think of a dead industry. Like I can't imagine anything exciting or any growth coming from it. But the share in the last 2 years is up 67%. In 5 years, it's up 265%.
Well, who's using all this paper?
Oh, that's the thing, right? And not only that, but like a couple of months ago, we have to compare the share to kind of other paper players, Sappi and the European paper business. And just a couple of months ago, the European paper businesses were all decreasing their prices, so trying to be competitive by selling for cheaper. So why is the share up? It really does my head in. I can't understand. And sure, they're doing well.
Right.
14% up on last year, possibly from a low base. But you can't really say that because it has been going up and up for the last 5 years. Yeah, and there's lots of competition, you know, from kind of importers and emerging market currencies are a problem for them. So I don't know. It's just one of those I'm going to stay away from. I'm just actually going to not even consider that I've missed out on 265% in the last 5 years. Yeah.
It'll just depress you.
It will, yeah. And then, of course, Barclays Group Africa. Now, lots going on here because on Friday, all the bidders are suddenly coming out of the woodwork. On Friday, a Middle Eastern consortium called Abraj announced that it's a private equity company. They announced that they want to buy 35% stake in Barclays Africa Group. So this is the company, the holding that the PLC, the London-listed Barclays, is selling off.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we know, what's his name, Carlyle, Bob Diamond and the Carlyle Group were interested. And apparently, rumor has it that Patrice Motsepe is also interested. Now, that hasn't been confirmed. Definitely, the Middle East company is keen. But then the Reserve Bank are saying that actually they don't really want a private equity player to be involved. They want a solid position. They want somebody who's going to be here invested for a long time. And also, the reason Barclays PLC is selling down is no other reason than for them. So that the return on equity in this business is not bad, but if they translate it into kind of bottom line, if you like, what's happening on the regulatory front is that Barclays PLC are having to put up so much capital for regulatory capital that by the time they work it back and kind of their return on equity on the PLC side, is almost, I believe, 7%, which for them is not worth it. You know, you're comparing it to over here. They're making return on equity of 15, but by the right. time they put up this capital, which they can't utilize anywhere else in the business, they have mm-hmm. to kind of ring-fenced, it doesn't really make sense. So I'm beginning to understand why they're wanting to sell down to a non-controlling stake.
Right.
For the Reserve Bank, obviously, they want somebody who's going to be there for a while, who's going to look after the business, and also be able to put up this regulatory capital and not worry too much. So, I don't know. Does this Middle Eastern private equity consortium, Abraj, have a chance? I don't know. It's only 35%. So, actually, now that I think about it, it's 35%, which means that it would be more than... They would have to make an offer to other shareholders. So I think that will probably be less than 35.
All right.
So we'll see. I'm beginning to think that Barclays is actually not a bad buy. It's a 1.2 times book value, 7% dividend yield. It's not bad. And you know how we've been talking about it's not as exciting as First Rand or Standard Bank, but the share's down, I don't know, kind of quite a bit in the last year. I don't know what the number is now, but like I think it's about 40%. So maybe it is cheap. Maybe it is time to get into Barclays.
All right. Well, you'll let us know when to press the button.
I think we should press the button.
You think so?
Let's do it. Let's do it today.
All right.
Okay.
Sure.
There we go. We just made a big decision. You're not so sure.
You look nervous. No, I take your word for it. Please, what do I know about these things? If you say press the button, we press the button.
And also, you know how this works, right? There's a saying, short the hunter, long the hunted. Barclays is the hunted. And as people are bidding up for this, so you've got Bob Diamond, you've got Abraj, you've got Patrice Motsepe, you've got the PIC. If they want a stake in this business, and if this business is cheap, they will start paying up for it, and the share price will rally. On Friday, the share price was up 4% kind of by midday, or no, in the afternoon, or just after lunch, when Abraj made the announcement. It closed 1.6% up. But that's what will happen. It will be volatile, and the share will probably run just on the back of all these bidders coming out. That's what I think.
All right, Anthea, you've persuaded all of us. All right, good. Now, can we talk about some of the other things that are going on?
Sure.
Sun International?
Yeah. So I had a closer look at Sun International because, you know, they announced a couple of days ago, sometime last week, beginning of last week, that they were selling down some of this business. And now this is another share that's been beaten down. So it's about 41% down the last year. And mostly those are because of delays in the North American deal. They've had regulatory issues with the Panama business, so the Competition Commission hasn't approved it as quickly as possible. And then people are worried that if there's a licensing issue in the Western Cape, and that if Sorgho's Son get a license to build another casino in the Western Cape, Grand West's EBITDA will actually halve, which is huge. That's a big thing. And then there's been a story about Sun International losing $10 million via one of their VIP clients. Now, this VIP business, gaming business, is very interesting because actually, let me think of it. The top 10% of clients make up 85% of gaming revenues for Sun International.
The top
10% of clients make up 85% of the gaming revenues.
So those idiots who go and they gamble all the time, and they gamble big.
Oh, huge.
These are the guys who make 80% of their profits.
85% of revenue.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently, literally, like the top 10 gamblers at Grand West can actually move the needle completely for Sun International. But you know, this is like VIP stuff, right? So these are guys who are flying in from China, Europe, America, South America. And really,
I can
just
imagine
coming,
nothing more depressing than flying in to Cape Town from China and sitting in Grand West Casino. I think I'd slit my wrists and chop off my own head.
Yeah. And they sit in a room and gamble.
Yuck.
It is fairly scary.
Depressing.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think the South American business is actually now beginning to pick up momentum. They've spent on Sun City, Sun International have spent 875 million rand. I've not been there for decades. But apparently it's completely changed now. They're expecting EBITDA of 450 million rand per year from Sun City.
Hmm.
And of that, again, by the way, of the 450 million rand, they're expecting 150 million rand from their VVIP clients. So again, these guys who they fly in, put in a room, make
Tremendous.
Them gamble, feed them alcohol, and off they go.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think the share's gone from 132 to 76 rand a share in the last year. So it's come off hugely. But I think they've done everything they can to streamline the business, to really kind of extract synergies from, or it's time now to extract synergies from the North American business. So I think it's time to buy Sun International. So we've got two buys today.
All right.
Sun International and Barclays Group.
Got you.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of questions that are pouring in here. The first one is from Kala. Says, Anthea, did you find out about the PSG Icon battery?
Of course I did.
Is this good for future value?
So, first of all, I don't know very much about the Icon battery inverter. So it's a battery inverter combination. What I do know is this Energy Partners business has got huge clients. So they've got Pick and Pay, SAB Miller, they've got Distell, so kind of actually a lot of the Stellenbosch, big Stellenbosch mm-hmm. businesses. They've got Spar as a client. It looks really good. I don't know about the actual technology. You know, it's all photovoltaic and kind of... And the big thing, again, with solar energy is storage. From a business perspective and how it feeds into PSG. So Energy Partners, I think it's very capital intensive, but I think you can expect high quality of an earnings stream coming from that. There's a long cycle to sale. So it takes long for Energy Partners to actually seal the deal with a client. But once they do, it's annuity income, and we love annuity income. You know,
right.
It's easy money every year. You get paid a portion. You don't really do much. There'll be very little in the way of maintenance. PSG or Energy Partners plan to inject 5 billion rand into this business in the next 5 years. If you just do a plain calculation, it's worth about 280 million rand. But I don't think they'll sell it for less than 3 billion rand. So, yes, we definitely like Energy Partners. As a business within the PSG stable.
Sure.
Whether I would recommend you go out and buy the Icon battery instead of the Tesla, I don't know.
No, well, also, that's not your thing.
No, it's not.
No. A couple of other people. Here's an interesting question. I don't even know what this means. Michael Dupre says, what does Anthea think of the Elliott wave theory?
Oh, okay. So this is, what do we call it, technical analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically drawing graphs, and it's a little bit technical. I'm not a technical analyst. I'll look at graphs every once in a while. And, you know, they talk about kind of Elliott wave and MACD, which is moving average, and there's a whole lot of stuff. I look at it, but I don't use it to make my investment decisions.
These are the statistical tools.
They're actually just pictures. So it's a trend line. And if you break through the trend line, then it's going to keep going in that direction. And you have flags and you have pennant flags. Oh,
boy. Okay.
I know.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And then let's just look at this. Because of the money shot, there's a guy called Trevor Smith who listens to us. He started investing in trading. He's going to set aside some of his monthly investment allocation for discretionary trading. And he's asked for advice on a portfolio that he's put together, right?
Yeah, because he's been listening to us. So,
all right, so here's his watch list. Go for it.
So he's got Pick and Pay and Woolworths. I'll just go through them as I kind of see them. Pick and Pay and Woolworths. So I think in such a small portfolio, in this economic environment, there's no need to have two consumer retail stocks in your portfolio. Hmm. I would choose Woolworths over Pick and Pay at this stage. Now, I know Pick and Pay is doing really well, extracting value, being very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Smooth in their operations. You know, they're rolling out their strategy well. But at this stage?
Consistent.
Consistent. Thank you. Woolworths. Then he's got EOH, which I really like. It's gone nowhere for a while, which annoys me because I've been holding it since last year. But I'm going to hold it a bit longer. The competition there is AdaptIT. In the ICT sector, I think EOH really is my preferred choice, my preferred stock, probably with AdaptIT if I had to choose a second one. I really like their CEO, Asher Bobbitt. He's quite eclectic, if you like. But he knows what he's doing. He's grown up in this business, and he's forward-thinking.
All right, so we'll keep EOH.
Yeah. And then Trevor's got RMH Holdings and First Rand. Now, this is silly because essentially First Rand own RMH, so there's no need to hold both. They actually trade, the correlation is almost 100. It's almost perfect. I'd rather have First Rand because I think if you're going to expose, through First Rand, you'll get exposure to other businesses. So Ashburton, Westbank, and RMH. So don't buy both, only buy RMH.
Only buy First Rand.
Oh, sorry, yes, yeah. First Rand, okay. Believe me, thank you. And then JSE, of course, you know that's one of my stocks of choice. And then he's got something called Better Beta 40, which is an index tracker. It's an ETF, exchange traded fund. And all it does is it replicates the top 40 shares. It's not bad. If you're just going to have exposure to the market, then that's a good thing to buy. But if you're looking to beat the market, why buy the market? You kind of want to buy shares that will outperform the market. So I think leave Better Beta out. Then he's got Sasfin. Now, Sasfin, it's too small for my liking. On Friday, only 9,000 shares traded. It's got a 2 billion rand market cap. This is the financials business. It's okay, but I don't know what the catalyst is. It's not a very, it's not a hugely exciting business from my point of view. And I know they've had one or two deals which haven't worked in the past, and that's probably been already priced into the share. And potentially it could go up, but it's a really volatile share. And imagine if you're sitting, again, it's this liquidity thing. If you're sitting with a few shares and some big seller decides to sell, you stand no chance. He'll sell it all the way down if he's happy to get out.
Right.
And then he's got Taste Holdings. This is another share I vacillate on. Again, really hasn't performed very well. These are the guys who brought Starbucks to the country. And at the moment, Starbucks, it's an odd thing. It just, it feels like people are seeing it just as a treat, depending on, because of kind of what mood they're in, and they're comparing prices, and should we buy Starbucks over any other coffee, and Starbucks looks like it's expensive, and people are not prepared to stand in queues anymore. And so, in a consumer-sensitive, price-sensitive environment, I think we can stay away from Taste Holdings.
All right.
And then the last one he's got is Barclays, which we've already spoken about. I think we're going to buy some today.
All right, very good. Well, over in, you know, taking a general view of what Trevor's got here, not all bad, but he can get rid of a few of the duplications and the unnecessary.
He's got some good ones. Woolworths, EOH, First Rand, JSE, and Barclays. That's what we're buying today for him. He's buying.
Very good.
We've already got some of those.
Yeah. Very good. And we'll check in on our own portfolio in a short while and see how we're doing there.
Definitely.
As well. Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure.
Very good. Have a good week.
Thank you. You too.
Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot.
This is CliffCentral.com.